Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Right. What's your favorite alcoholic beverage?
If you love being in a girl group, this is totally for you.
Some people call us overwhelming.
Yeah. Love it or leave it, we don't care. No, but we want you here.
Yeah. Welcome to You Can Sip With Us. I'm Colleen.
I'm Ashley.
Are you sipping on? You said you were going to grab a drink.
Yeah, did you?
I did.
The Pear High Noons are unbelievable. But the only way you can get them is in a variety pack. And when you get the variety pack, it's like there's two, you know, and then you got, because it's like a 2, 4, 6, 8, I guess an 8-pack.
Yeah.
And so then you got 6 other ones that you got to drink, shuffle which are through. Fine. But the right. Pear High Noon, we need to petition to get like just a straight up pack of the pear.
Bust it's it so out.
Good. Do you that's what I got.
What?
Pear High Noon. Yeah.
Okay. So what? Chris and I, we have a fridge in our garage.
Yes.
That is like the dedicated fridge for like overstock of things like milk, or we buy extra stuff in bulk or whatever.
Right.
But then also it's mostly supposed to be for drinks.
Right.
But what ends up happening is we'll buy things for like hosting variety packs, and then it's not all the leftovers of variety packs, but it's also like we don't work through it fast enough. And so then it's just like a lot of stuff in there that's like this and that's.
And it feels weird to throw it away.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need a John in your house.
And Chris and I have been talking about how we need to like go through and just strip out some stuff, because there's got to be some old stuff in there that's just got to go. I mean, we just like don't pick through it enough. And then we also want to put in, because the sun's coming out, so the neighborhood's awakening. Everyone's, you know, emerging
out of
their homes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, the vampires, like, we're not vampires anymore. It's not Twilight over in the Pacific Northwest anymore. So that's cool. But then it's like we want to be welcoming. So like the other night, we were outside just doing chalk, and some of our neighbors came over and started talking. And the next thing you know, we're all sitting outside for quite a while.
Oh.
And I told Chris, I was like, in those instances, I want to be able to offer people a drink, but I couldn't with a straight face hand a questionable beer over to them that I don't know if it's like old or not. Like, it's just sort of like weird drinks in our drink.
Okay.
We need to restock.
Yeah.
All of this is to say, I want High Noons. I want things like even mixed cocktails. And it's a real hassle in Oregon because they don't sell any of that in the grocery store.
Right.
And I guess it's not that hard to go to a liquor store, but it's already hard enough for us to keep up on like getting the basics of what we need week in and week out.
Yeah.
We don't have to do an extra stops.
Right.
Right.
Why don't you Instacart it?
Good idea.
I feel like Instacart is
a good idea.
John thinks it's not a great use of money because it is, I guess, a little more expensive. But I feel like for the convenience of it, I mean, I'll pay it. You know, I pay for the convenience. If you're going to go to your regular grocery store, okay, great. Like if we go on vacation, I do my entire grocery haul through Instacart. I'm like, I'm not spending the first 2 hours of my vacation
walking around
at a grocery store. I'll do it on the drive or on the plane, or I'll do it, like I'll even load it that week, you know, before I get to wherever we're going. I'll load it while I'm just watching TV at night or whatever. I load my cart.
Yeah.
And then you can schedule it for whatever day and time you want it to. It's like a 2-hour window, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I do. But like, I think if you did in general, if you were doing all of your grocery shopping, it probably would be more money. But if you're just doing, go to the liquor store and get me some high noons. Okay.
Yeah.
Not so bad. Worth the convenience.
Yeah. We're going to do like a bulk overhaul and have nice variety, purge it and just restart it for the summer.
Yeah.
For the social times. Right. When you want to offer people good stuff.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy, to your point, my favorite times at a grocery store are in the rare instance, very, very rare. And usually it's like, put the kids down and then I'll go when I'm just like by myself and I can just walk around and really kind of look at stuff. I like to, you know, how do I know what I need unless it's like shown to me?
Yes.
Sometimes things have to be.
Well, and the produce, you're like, I need to get my eyes on it. I don't really trust the pickers.
Yes.
I don't know how it's going to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Trader Joe's is great to shop at alone and at night.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
But like, all that is to say, the grocery stores are not an enjoyable place to be. I don't find it to be enjoyable really at all, especially when there's a lot of people there and it's very like, I really don't like it. I like Costco. I like Target. I don't like grocery stores. I don't even like Trader Joe's, especially when you're there as a whole family. It's like constantly in people's way. I really don't like it.
Yeah. That's what I was talking literally yesterday to some friends about how I don't leave my house and I don't grocery shop except for, because they were like, you don't go to like, what is that called? Nordstrom Rack or like Roth. I'm like, no, not a chance. I'm doing it online, all of it.
I don't enjoy it either.
I said the only ones that I will walk and I like to peruse is Target and Costco. Mm-hmm. It's the only two stores.
Yep.
There's not a single other store that I feel like I genuinely enjoy.
Same.
Going to.
Clothes shopping, I actually don't enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
It's kind of like home decor shopping. I don't enjoy that either because I can't see it. I don't have the
vision.
The vision. And so I don't like it. My best thing, this is actually going to be my rave. So I'll sub it out. I have kind of two raves anyway today. But Nordstrom's offers personal shopping at no charge.
Mm-hmm.
The charge is that you're going to buy
buying a bunch of clothes. Yeah.
More. Did I talk about this already
no.
on Patreon? So I tried personal shopping through Nordstrom a while ago online. I got like hooked up with an online gal and we had a Zoom meeting and then she recommended all these things on a style board. But even online shopping, I feel like it's tough for me. Like I like it, but I still can't see it. And I can never find the time to like go to a store and shop and browse and try things on. Nightmare. So anyway, a friend of mine is like, oh, I have a great personal shopper at Nordstrom. I'm going to intro you. And then she'll set up a whole dressing. You can send her notes, text her things you want to see and do. And then she'll set up a whole dressing room for you.
Oh, like virtually or you go in there?
In person.
Okay. Uh-huh.
It was awesome. I sent her my colors and the things that I'm looking for.
Uh-huh.
I get there. She had a whole dressing room with stuff laid out for me. At first glance, there were many things. I was like, nope, you know, but I kept an open mind, tried things on. But that was the pull. Yeah. She's like, some of this stuff. She's like, you try a couple things on. I'm going to look and then I'm going to pull as we go.
Yeah.
I was in and out of there in an hour. So it was very fast. I didn't walk any of the racks. I didn't browse any of the things. I bought a shit ton of stuff.
Right.
Because it was, I don't shop that often and I felt like good about that.
And you're
really
getting good quality.
The things.
Like, yeah.
And I needed it. I really needed a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like new shorts for the summer, a new pair of jeans, a summer dress that I can wear kind of everywhere and like put on with a denim jacket or a little whatever, like going out coat. Anyway, it was time well spent. And that was like the best shopping experience because it was not shopping.
Right.
I had help. Right. I had help. I need help. I like help.
Anyway. I still hate trying on clothes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, but then it's like, which one's worse? Because I don't like trying on clothes, but I also don't like doing returns.
I know.
So what I'm tempted to do, that's why I do so much online shopping, but then I have to do returns. Or sometimes when I'm somewhere, I don't want to try it on. I'm just like, well, I'll just get it and then I'll return it. And then it sits there forever and ever and ever. And sometimes it never makes it to the return. And then I've just wasted a bunch of money. It's like, I got to choose which one I actually hate the most. Because I don't like trying. It's a workout. I feel like sometimes I'm like sweating or hot when I'm trying on clothes like that. You know?
Yes.
And I will say probably having that shopper would be nice because what I hate more than trying on clothes is trying on clothes and then not liking anything.
Yeah,
like, well, exactly. This is a fucking waste of time.
Yeah.
I'm hot. I'm sweaty. I'm annoyed. I just spent an hour perusing and then an hour trying shit on and I don't like anything.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I think I'm just going to do this personal shopping thing like twice a year.
Yeah.
Like a spring, summer and a fall, winter refresh. And then at the same time, go through my closet and get like donate things that are just not getting play and not create. Like this was a little more of a crazy one, but just being really specific about what I want, what I need. And I also don't like trying on clothes, but there was something about going there with the mindset of the whole purpose of this is to try on clothes. And I wore clothes that were easy to like take on off. And it was like down to business, quick
and
decisions.
And you felt good in some of the things she picked for you, which is,
there
is a dopamine hit that comes with that. So if you're trying shit on and it's good and you like it, then it's like, you're excited. You know, you're like, oh, these jeans are great. Or these shorts are, this dress is great. Then you get like, I don't know. I get a little more amped about it. Then it doesn't bother me as much. Yeah.
Yeah. No, she did great. And that's awesome. Nordstrom has a lot of selection or whatever, but I also had some gift cards burning a hole in my pocket. But I'm keeping like a list now of things that I need, like gaps in my closet. I need a couple belts. And so I just keep my list. I have her name is a list in my phone. And then I just sort of add to that for next time. Batchwork it.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Oh, great.
Today
so that was a win.
Really is, well, it's going to be Tortured Tuesday. Today's Tortured Tuesday. All we're really here to talk about is New Taylor, which I want to dive into. But first, ding, 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 ding. Let's make sure we're not sneezing our way through this. You know what I mean?
Right.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. Ready to live as if you don't have allergies? Okay, listen, allergies, I'm an allergy sufferer. I'm full blown, itchy, watery eyes, runny nose, the scratchy throat. I sometimes, like if I don't have it under control, dread, I look outside and just dread the idea of like going to the park and going places that can really aggravate it.
Yeah.
I've been taking Claritin D. I love Claritin D. It really has been a game changer. I can go out, live my life, play outside with the kids, kick the soccer ball around, dust things up, and not feel like it's going to destroy my day. Really, ready to live as if you don't have allergies. It's time to live Claritin Clear.
Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter and you don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so that you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Okay, I have been really
dying
with excitement for this conversation. So Ash and I, when Tortured Poets came out, really for West Coasters Thursday night at 9 o'clock, we were texting our way through it.
Right.
At bedtime, I knew something was coming at 11 o'clock Pacific. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We hypothesized on Patreon. We got pretty close to like, hey, a full, this
well,
is a
you
full
did.
Blown
I don't
double
think
album.
I did. Didn't I say she's going to give us a stupid song that I don't care about?
Yeah, but to be fair, you know, that's like how she's treated us in the past. She delivered this time.
Yeah, you're right.
Where we got two full albums, over 30 songs.
Yes.
And did you listen to the whole way through the
I
back
tried
half?
That night. Yeah. I started fading and we started hitting like net. Like I'd get the first half of each song and the next. And I was just, because by that time it was like midnight and I'm like, okay, this is a lot. Yeah. And at that point I wasn't like able to really process and enjoy it at, you know, so I think we did hear a little bit of every song, but I didn't absorb it until
it was overwhelming. It was sort of like, hey, here's your full entree.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't even, do you want dessert? It was like, hey,
here's another full entree.
We know your tummy is full with appetizers and drinks and steaks, but like you have to do that all over again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was overwhelming. It was too much to digest. I was a snake who had overeaten on the kill. You know, it's going to still take a long time.
And I know, I guess they go together. you know, it's an anthology, whatever. But I feel like they are very different albums. Like they have like a similar sound, but the topics are, it seems like, very different. Like the second half or the second, what is it, 16 through 31 songs or something like that, were a lot more about, it seemed like, other people, her past. Like there's some hypothesis that like she even, like manuscript is maybe about Jake Gyllenhaal, and that obviously there's a couple songs about Kardashians, Kim specifically, but then even, is it Cassandra? There's one that's like about the Kardashian family, it seems like. I think it's Cassandra. But I just felt like it was very different than the first set that she, what are we calling it? It's like, what do you, how do you call it? One or one, one, two, one?
We'll just call one it first two? Half, back half.
First half, back half. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then we're recording intentionally like later into the weekend so that we could have more time to digest. Right. And so in Thursday, we were giving for the first half some real time sort of feedback, but things change as we digest it all. We also had a whole half of a record to process. So maybe we start with overall impressions,
overall thoughts, yeah,
feelings, our sort of like rating of the album, our reviews, and then we'll go into we're going to try and do top five each. Yeah. I texted Ash. I said, I need some help because given the amount of content, really, it should be like a top 10, but I want to make it, I still feel like it should be hard and it makes it very hard. So we're going to do top five with a couple honorable mentions is how we're going to approach. So what do you think?
Overall, I don't even think it's my top, it wouldn't make my top three favorite albums.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think perhaps had she released this in the fall, it's a very moody, slow, cozy album.
Yeah.
It's not a summer album to me.
Yeah.
There's like not a single bop on it, I don't think. Like out of the whole 31 songs, there's not one that, like, I absolutely will have it full blast in my car and be singing, but it's not like, oh, yes, this is summer, you know?
Yeah.
It also is just very, this sounds kind of, I'm not sure. It's a little one-dimensional to me in the sense that all of the songs are very deep.
Tortured. Yeah.
And so many words. Like, I feel like Antihero was one of the first songs where we really heard her use wild words and put them together. And right. And in almost every song on this album, she's doing that. It's like very sophisticated wording and imagery and like, you know, because she's not like super literal. So it's like you're reading between the lines, like fresh out the slammer. She's essentially saying, I'm out of this relationship with Joe. My first call's Maddie, right? Like, so she has all these like innuendos and weird, but it's all very much like that for 31 songs. It doesn't hit for me the way I was hoping. But I will say, listening to the first half at 9 p.m. on Thursday night, I was alive and electric, and every song I was screaming, mouth dropped open, couldn't believe my ears, so excited. And then as I'm settling into it, I just, it's just not my favorite. And I also, I don't think we need 31 songs. I mean, they're not 31 songs about Maddie, but like, it sounds to me like 70% of the songs are about Maddie, and he seems like a piece of shit. So I don't want to like shit on her. This is her story. It's her. She lived it, but it seemed like a very unhealthy, toxic relationship. He's an addiction for her. Maybe they were an addiction for each other. She was clearly messed up about him, clearly very in love with him. Or I don't know if it was love. She was in something with him. I don't think I need 27 songs about this guy. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It'll grow on me because I also did not like Folklore or Evermore when I heard them. And now they're two of my favorites.
Yeah.
So like the slow stuff will grow on me, I'm sure. But also the other thing about this album is it's so specific that it is hard. If it wasn't Taylor, this album would be unrelatable. Because I think Taylor's done such a good job of taking everyone through her diary. And we expect this from her. Like this is her diary. But a lot of times you want music that you're like, oh yeah, they wrote this for me or I can relate to this or whatever. Because it's so specific, you know? I don't know. So I still love it. It's just not my favorite.
Yeah.
I think it goes after, I don't even know what my favorite is. I think my favorite might be Rep, then 1989, and then Midnights. I don't know. Because then also we've got Folklore and Evermore that kind of like, I think Rep is my favorite. No, I've got five and they bounce around in different first, second, third, whatever. Yeah. So I think this would be my sixth favorite album before she switched to pop, basically. All of her pop and then the folk, like whatever Folklore and Evermore were, those are in there. But all of her earlier days, this only trumps those for me. I think you're going to like it though, because you liked Folklore and Evermore on first pass. That hit you. So tell me how you feel.
I absolutely love it.
I thought you might. Yeah.
Think.
Uh-huh.
So there's like my zoomed in version of what I think, but then I also really enjoy.
You forgot to tell us what you're drinking.
I'm drinking rosé.
Good.
I have a nice chill rosé.
That's great. Okay. Back to it.
I chose pink rosé today.
Yeah.
Because it feels to me we've gotten two Travis songs for the first time.
Yeah.
And what's so cool is all of her relationships have felt quite guarded. And so when we hear songs, we're like, kind of, are we getting part of her inner life? And her and Travis have been so public that it's really, these songs feel really different to me because it's almost like our imitating life more, where we're actually seeing it play out more and then we're hearing the soundtrack to it. And some of the references about her and Travis have been like glittery pink. And so I poured rosé in honor of that. But the Travis songs, wow, strong start. Strong start. I'm already excited for like this chapter of her life.
Yeah.
In sound. Because these little hints were great. So the zoomed out version, just like the overall sense, the launch of this and the reviews of this, there's like a couple different buckets. One is commercial success, and that's undisputable because that's just data. And the commercial success of this is unprecedented. So she broke Spotify's most albums streamed in one day by such a long shot. Because you could say, oh, is it because she had 30 songs?
Right. No. They said broke it with just 12 songs. She broke the record.
And the numbers are insane. So
something like, are you going to say the numbers?
313 million.
And that's this. And
compared to big launches, like, that would be comparable, would be like 100 million or like four. I think Cowboy Carter was like 50 million.
So I think she held the last record and it was like 127 million.
Something like that.
For Midnights or something.
Yes.
And then she doubled that. More than doubled it. Almost tripled it. It's crazy.
So there's like the commercial success, the streams, which is crazy. And then the amount of interest in people picking this album apart. If you think about the noise, like the aftershock of her dropping this, anger about whatever, it's too long, too much Maddie, or it's amazing, or it's not, or Taylor fans are going to love anything, or this is forgettable, or this is the best. It's like so much noise. And all I can think about is no other artist will drop an album and have it be picked apart at this level because she's so freaking major.
Yeah.
I think Beyonce also got, like with Cowboy Carter, people are, is it good? Is it not? You know, and they're graded on a curve. Their stuff gets picked apart more than anybody else because they're so, so, so major and they're so, so, so good that they get held to standards that nobody else will get held to.
Yeah, true.
It's a sound we've heard before. It's not reinvented enough. Who gives a shit? Like, no other artist will be held to that measuring stick.
Yeah.
No, nobody else.
Yeah.
And how many artists are we putting that kind of expectation on? Like I don't know, freaking John Mayer is going to come out with something. Of course it's going to sound like John Mayer. It's John Mayer.
He's
of course
Mayer.
This is going to sound like Taylor. This is her voice. She's found some styles that she likes. Like, amazing.
Yeah.
And yes, people like women in general, I think, are also kind of forced to reinvent, quote unquote, more than even men art male artists do. Like, if you think about the hoops that Madonna, that Britney have had to jump through, to every album has to be this new, fresh skin, is like crazy to me.
I never thought about that. Yeah.
So that's like where my head goes. The launch that it reminds me most of in terms of the chatter is Reputation. Because when Reputation was launched, and not the music aside, the feedback, Reputation was very mixed reviews. Mm-hmm. Very, very mixed. It was a love it or hate it.
Well, critically especially, right? Or did the fans like it?
Critically and the fans.
Okay. And what is your sense right now? Is it
critical and I feel like the fans
are also that way about this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I feel like a couple days ago you were like, mixed reviews from critics, not mixed reviews from fans. But that was Friday morning when, you know, there's been two more days since
then.
Now
I feel like I'm seeing both.
Okay.
Mixed reviews from both. I feel like everyone's heard like some of the mixed reviews, so I won't belabor those. But so then just like Colleen opinion.
Yeah.
Some of the parts of this album sound, I don't want to say unhinged.
Mm-hmm.
But like loose and vicious and cutting and raw. And like, mm-hmm. I've never heard her like that. And if we think about this album representing the five stages of grief, there are some songs that are really angry. Angry at the expectations she's supposed to live up to for the business, for her parents, for us. Right. Mm-hmm. And what does she really want as a person?
Yeah.
There's a lot of references to someone who enjoys her company, pushing strollers, having a life of love. Uh-huh. And how much does she feel like gets sacrificed of herself and herself having to wait and be pushed on the back burner for like these impossible expectations? Right. Like there's the denial, the I'm going to get you back. There's the anger, but daddy, I love him, and the can do it with a broken heart, even is feeling kind of angry to me.
I think the most cutting off, like bruising song on the album is Smallest Man Who Ever Lived.
Oh, yeah.
Like I feel like overall, Maddie gets a fair play on this album, like because she talks about how much she loved him. But the Smallest Man That Ever Lived, if someone wrote that song about me, I don't know how I would come back from that. I mean, it is brilliantly written. It's very smartly insulting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of content. It's going to take us all a long time to digest it. The first part was mostly produced by Jack Antonoff. So there's a different sound. To me, it is.
Is that
sort of
what it is?
Yes. To me, it's sort of like Reputation and Folklore Had a Baby is part one.
Yes.
And then on the back half, it's much more like Evermore and Midnight's Had a Baby.
Yes.
And that's more of the Aaron Dessner is the back half. So you might.
Which do you like
some
more?
The back half.
You I like do?
I do a lot.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I like the back half so much.
Wow.
And it's the guitar. It's the sweeping piano. It's the like. There's this one part in, it's the one with all the names, but it's Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus. Yeah. And it's like, if you want to break me, just tell me you've always wondered or something like that. And I think a lot of people have had someone in their life that they know is like not good for them, romantic interests. And there's that addiction or that toxic, or like she talks about throughout the album, emotional affairs and how far she's gone in her mind. And I think she probably cheated on multiple boyfriends with an emotional affair of some kind. Maybe it was with Maddie.
With Maddie.
And and like, anyway, I think that what she's really captured in this is someone that has sort of tortured you for a long time, a love that's tortured you, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But man, I love it. I love it so.
I was so excited to hear your take. Because I knew, like, I really trust you when it comes to music. Because even as you were saying, like, the piano and the drums, I'm like, I didn't hear any of that shit. I mean, I literally, and as I was on story saying, like, Colleen and I are going to record soon. And I'm like, I'm so interested because I go off of lyrics and Colleen goes off of, like, the entire composition. Like, a little bit lyrics, but like, really, how does it sound? How does it feel? What is the product? Like, I, you know, and you're like that with movies too. There's just a I don't know, you have this, I don't know if it's a skill or just the thing that you can read between the lines, like hear things the way that like critics would probably live. Like, I could never be a critic because I don't have enough appreciation for music and what goes into it and like the production, you know? So I was so excited. And you've also never, I'm not stroking your ego because I don't stroke egos if they're not, I'm not going to stroke an ego for no fun, you know, or like just to kiss ass. I don't feel like you've been wrong about music, really. Like, you liked Folklore and Evermore from the jump, and I didn't. But like, now I'm like, no, it's so good. It hit. So yeah. I'm excited to hear your take because I think it's going to make me like it more and be like more open to
wait it. Till we hear these on a big live stage.
You know what I was fucking thinking? Sorry.
No,
I had to say great. It like that.
Yeah.
I had to what? Say it like that.
What?
But I wish we could go to Miami because one of those shows in Miami, she's going to sing Florida.
Oh, yeah.
And can you imagine when it goes, Florida, bam, 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 bam. You're one hell of a drug and everyone is losing their minds?
Yes.
I can't even. That's got to be a piano song. Can't be on the guitar. It's going to be piano and just like slamming the keys. Oh, yeah. I just, yeah.
And anyway. I think when she talks about how I needed to write this album, she talked about how she's never needed songwriting more. She hasn't ever directly brought Maddie into the spotlight. This was not – so then getting into the actual, like, man part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Her and Maddie, this was not a rebound. It is very clear. We know that they have history back to 2014, but it is now very clear from herself directly this is – like, sometimes we have to guess who might this be about. There's not a lot of guessing in this.
Right.
This was therapy for her to finally break free of something that had been going on for like, what, 10 years?
Yeah. Since 2014, right? Like, yeah.
And to put it 6 feet under because she is in a new chapter of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the We Are Never, Ever, Ever Getting Back Together Ever album. Like,
I really
this
hope
was the closure.
I hope this was closure for her and that Travis is changing things. I've honestly felt, after listening to this, I felt more nervous about their relationship because it sounds like such a strong pull to him and addiction to him that it's made me nervous. Like, she's in Young Love, but it doesn't seem like it's where she went emotionally with Maddie.
Loss of My Life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That is a real standout song to me.
Yeah.
She talks about, like, there's moments where, like, I think it's in As Guilty as Sin where we're not together, but I'm Guilty as Sin is a song about emotional cheating, full stop. Amazing, amazing lyrics. But she talks about how we're not together, and so I will write songs in undercase and put them in a vault. Vault tracks, these tracks, whatever.
I need to listen to that again.
Now I'm going back in my mind to songs in like Folklore and Evermore. And there, I sent you some things where there's a lot of people pulling lyrics from 1975 and Taylor that it's like, okay, is this really a coincidence? Like, holy cow. He talks about a song that is very much in the lore of them where he says that he's been in love with her for ages in all of the stages of his life, basically, and that we need to write more like pages in this book. And in Death by a Thousand Cuts references, if the story is over, why am I still writing pages? Yeah. Talking about, I mean, it's pretty wild.
I feel like fans think they know a lot about her because of how much she gives us in her music. And it's a side that's been going on for a decade that we had no idea about.
And I think she wanted to get that point across to us in this album too, of, hey, assholes.
Yeah.
I have all of you. This is the anger part of the album, which I don't believe she probably thinks anymore, but maybe. All of you thought you knew.
Yeah.
All of you thought he was this rat and I was making this big mistake. You know, she talks about to the fans or all the Hannahs and Sarahs clutching their pearls. I don't need you to pray for me. Like, you all thought you knew. You had no idea.
You had no idea.
About my deep inner life, what this was for me, what this was for us, what our plans were. And I think that what happened was the insane amount of pressure and backlash with how big she had gotten in the Eras Tour and them trying to reunite, him going to her concerts. She talks about, you thought leaving was a grand romantic gesture, but you left me safe and stranded. Scared
or whatever.
I think he probably thought, I'm not going to take down your career, and I can't, like, he probably couldn't handle, he was probably getting death threats, like the backlash of the world on him. He just said, forget it. We're both better off. You need to go live your life.
This for, he's saying, I'm doing it for you. Yeah.
I need to finally kill this so that you're free of it.
I feel bad because at the top of my opinion, I said he's such a piece of shit or something like that, right? And like, he's not. I don't think there's a human on the planet that is such a, even when they do heinous things, I think most everybody is looking for love and belonging. And somebody that is really deeply struggling with addiction and mental health, which it seems like Maddie is, you know what, actually, what I just popped into my brain is the Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, A Star Is Born.
Yeah.
And he ends up because he's addicted. And she becomes so famous and he thinks so low of himself. And so now I just feel bad for saying that, but also, like, to your point, the pressure that he must have felt to be like if you think so low of yourself and you think so high of her and the world thinks so high of her. And now the world, you've been thrust into the spotlight because you're dating the most famous person on the planet right now. And you have a bit of a rocky history and stage presence and whatever, and they just tore him to shreds. And someone that already is shredded cannot handle that.
Yeah.
So I hope that he finds peace, actually. And I hope that Taylor finds peace too, because it actually, probably him leaving had, you know, she took it personally and probably very hard. Because in there, she says, I would have died for all your sins. Like, I didn't care. I was willing to do whatever for you. I would have done anything.
She would have lost it all.
Yeah.
Was willing to.
Reputation, whatever. Yeah.
And it sounds like, though, the way that he went about it, there's a lot of plays, you know, he ghosted her, a lot of plays of him being a ghost, right?
Right.
And like, that is a whole other thing to reconcile that is on him, is directly on him, and how it ended and leaving her guessing and always wondering. Hi, Mac. Hi, sweetie.
Mac came in and he goes, can you hear her? We have a special guest. And he said, I can't. So I put this little earbud in his ear. Can you hear her now? Here, why don't you say hi?
No.
No.
Mac,
do you like Taylor Swift?
Yes.
Yes.
What's your favorite song?
Taylor
Swift's favorite song. What's your favorite song? What are the words?
Taylor Swift.
I know, but what's the one you like to sing?
We found Wonderland. You and I got lost in it.
Okay, funny, right? Funny that that's the favorite, because Maddie also had a song about finding a wonderland.
Oh, really?
Yes.
We found. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, buddy, I'm recording a podcast. I'll be done in a little bit, okay? Say bye, Colleen. What? Say bye, Colleen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So we'll get to our top five here in a second. One other thought in terms to loop back to the thinking about Travis and Taylor and are they okay? I had similar feelings.
Well, yes. Okay. Keep going. And then I have to tell you something.
The whatever you call it. She like wrote a letter that's part of the album. It's like the, if it were the an actual physical album, it would be in the pamphlet booklet where it's like, this is not where the poet's life is anymore. This chapter has healed. There's nothing to avenge. Like, this is in the past. This is behind me. And I think this had to be released to bury it because of this new chapter, because it's, she's probably engaged. I think she's engaged. I actually that. And I think that this had to be released and put to bed. And I think she's been preparing Travis for this for a long time. These songs were written and done before she met Travis, outside of the Travis songs. And there's no way that she could have known all the happiness that was about to unfold. I also think the little YouTube short that came out with her playing pickleball with, he was in there twice, is a signal to all of us of like, I am so happy. She's the happiest she's ever been, like, in her life.
Yeah. I was thinking about because one line really stuck with me, and I think it's from The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived. But she says, like, I was out with someone new who would have bullied you in high school, and you just sat there and watched. And that makes me think that when her and Travis first started being together, she wasn't over Maddie yet. But then later in that song, she says, I don't miss what we had, but could someone just give a message to The Smallest Man, whoever, you know? But that one stuck with me where it's like, even when you were with Travis, you still were wanting Maddie. But, you know, that's been a long time now. And I think Travis probably did help heal her. I love the songs that she wrote about him because it does feel like he's bringing her back to life a little, like fun. So, you pick up that he's fun. They have a lot of fun together in those songs.
For sure. Their songs, I did a deep dive on 1975 and Taylor Swift parallels. And yes, there's a song from years ago where he talks about seeing someone he used to love out with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of plays on the same vibe. Mm-hmm. And it could have been like a Calvin Harris. It could have been like, there's others, right? That could have been, because
yeah, it makes me feel better.
He saw her step out. If this has been going on since 2014, that's a lot of boyfriends.
What do you think Joe feels right now?
I think there's a lot of people who are like, I saw some things like, oh my God, the ultimate rub. Here he thought this whole album would be about him. And it's really just like he got solid track five.
But
I think that there is way more in Midnights and Folklore and Evermore that were the breaking apart of them and our actual sad Joe songs. Like I look at Tolerate It Now through a totally different lens.
I think Joe
actually has plenty of songs that we just didn't know were actually Joe songs.
Yeah.
And I think
so. Maybe he's glad the heat's off him. I don't know.
Yeah. So Long London is solid.
It made my top list. It's not in my top five, I don't think. But it's also, she didn't trash him at all, ever, I don't think. It was just kind of like they were just not really meant to be long term. Yeah. Maybe two different people and
how
whatever.
How much sad did you think I had?
That's one of my favorite lines of the whole album. How much sad did you think I had? How low did you think I go? Like,
God, tortured.
Torture.
It's so tortured.
Tragedy. Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Listen, if you're feeling tortured about anything in your life and you just need a little help feeling better, that's where BetterHelp comes in. This show is brought to you in part by BetterHelp. So BetterHelp is an online therapy that you do right from your own home. You'll go online, fill out a quiz about what it is you're kind of looking for, what you're struggling with, what you're hoping for. They'll give you several therapists, legitimate therapists that you can match with and schedule a time to meet with them. You can do video, phone, even just message, whatever makes you feel the most comfortable. And then if it's not a fit, you can switch with no issues. Clearly, mental health is something that is very near and dear to my heart. I do everything I can to take care of it. I think it's horrible that it's got kind of like this taboo thing when really all of us could use just a neutral person to talk through some of our thoughts. Our brains are very complex and fascinating. And it helps to have someone who is trained that can just sort of help you get to know your brain a little bit better. So that has been my experience with therapy. And I also do online therapy. But yeah, this is super convenient. It's flexible. And it's super affordable, which I love. So I love just the convenience and the affordability of it, you know, and you never have to even leave your house.
Find your sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/sip today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/sip. I can't wait to hear your top five.
It's so hard. I don't even have it down. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, and then I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That are like in contender for 5 and then 6, 7, 8. I don't even know.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
I've been waiting to have this tortured police department conversation for days.
Freaking chomping. Yeah.
The last thing I'll say before we get to our top is I feel like our opinions of the album are a great representation of all the mixed reviews out there and reaction. And I love it because it's a reminder that music is art. And art is not good or bad. There's no right or wrong. There's no take that is the right take. It is subjective. And I think that is beautiful. And I love that there's people who are like, this isn't for me. And there's people who are like, I've never related to something more. And I don't think this album was for any of us. It was for Taylor, for herself. But I love the mix in and of itself because it is art and that is inherently beautiful.
It's also so cool that she is at the level where she can release something that literally is for her that she knows. I think she probably had to know this isn't going to be like her most loved album.
Yeah.
And yet to smash every freaking record.
Yeah.
With something that just was healing for her. Like, she's not releasing this and anybody that was a Taylor fan is not a Taylor fan anymore.
Right.
The one thing I will say that's a little bit of a bummer for me is when Midnights came out, it turned so many people into Taylor Swift fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved using that, like, basically as a tool to get John on board. Yeah, recruiting. Yeah. It was a recruiting tool. I don't think I can use this for that. But the people that are really true Taylor Swift fans, I think it's for Taylor, but I also think
some of these,
they will have a deep appreciation
how they age. And then I think out of these 30, there's probably going to be about 15 that will be recruiting tools. Just wait. It's going to age like fine wine.
Before we get into top five, Colleen, I have a question.
Go on.
Knowing now, clear as day, she is not forgiving Kim Kardashian. She's not like fully over. She might be over it. I don't know. But there was very clearly, like, it's not even Kanye, it's Kim, right? Mm. How do you think she feels?
Kim?
About Brittany Mahomes and Sabrina Carpenter working with Kim. Do you know what I mean? We talked about this before we knew how.
Here's the thing. Sabrina Carpenter, and I say this with all due respect. Sabrina Carpenter and Brittany Mahomes are very much B-list, maybe C-list.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm probably just too old for Sabrina Carpenter. Maybe she seems to be getting pretty major. I don't really know. I couldn't name a single song of hers. The skim opportunity from just like if you're a manager of Brittany or Sabrina is a great opportunity for them.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's Kim trying to troll Taylor. I don't think it's Brittany or Sabrina being unloyal to Taylor. I think Taylor probably thinks nothing of it. Taylor's very secure in her individual relationships, and it's 2 degrees of separation between, it's just business. I think it's
business.
And
probably, especially the Brittany one, had to be, like, that stuff's got to be in the works for a while. That's what I was thinking about the Britney thing is like, Britney doesn't need the money. She doesn't need the, like, maybe she wants exposure, but Pat Mahomes is just, you know, she doesn't need that. I do feel like also what I've started following her ever since, you know, Taylor liked her and whatever. And I do think that she seems like a loyal friend, like she would ride or die for her people. And I wonder a little bit if she regrets it, just like, because she didn't need to do it, I don't think.
Yeah.
Sabrina's in the place where she's trying to get as much exposure out there as possible. But I think the Britney thing probably was in the works well before her, you know. Sabrina, I'm not sure about her. It makes me like her less.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Top five.
Top five. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first? This is so hard.
Do you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
I don't have a rank. I just have five. The standouts. And then I have 3 that are honorable mention. And the 3 honorable mentions have changed at least 4 times this
morning. Gosh. Yeah. Well, you start.
Okay. So my top 5. The song I can't get out of my head. Down Bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that one is just.
That is. If there was going to be a bop, it's Down Bad, I think.
Can't get it out of my head.
I think.
I only put one of the Travis songs. I love both, but the one I like best is So High School.
Oh.
I love that it starts out and it feels like the Cranberries or like late 90s, early 2000s. Like that sound is so, even the production of it is so high school. And I love that giddiness of that relationship. Oh, it's so good. And then Thank You, Amy. That the Kim song is so incredibly epic. And I wanted to listen to it in the car. It was after I dropped the kids off. I turned it up loud as I was driving home. And there were multiple parts where my jaw was on the ground and I hit my steering wheel.
Yeah.
Just, whoa! Like, mm-hmm. it was mm-hmm. the blood that I think we were all hoping for in Reputation. It was the long, like, Reputation. It was like
she was still too wounded, probably. She couldn't take those kinds of risks, probably, right? Like legitimately calling, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it was strategic. There certainly was a little bit of bite, but it wasn't a snake. Like, Look What You Made Me Do was, it was more, I think Reputation intentionally was supposed to be about Taylor's own healing and transformation. Mm-hmm. And it was a little bit of an unexpected high road that mm-hmm. she was mm-hmm. taking, which played very well because I love that album. But everybody wanted that snake teeth, that bite, yes, that yes. fatal wound. And like, Thank You, Amy. Oh my God, it was so good. And it's actually like the guitar in it. And I really like the song. I picked the title track, Tortured Poets Department. I love that song.
I do love that.
I love
the way that,
that
starts
song.
Is so, it's very 90s to me.
Yeah.
Or 80s. There are some very interesting. Yeah. production bits throughout the album. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tortured Poets Department is,
Tortured Poets is so good. And then
okay.
this one might surprise you. And for those of you who haven't like worked your way through all 30 songs or the back half as much, but this one is going to rise to the top, I think, on many people's list over time. I can't get enough of it. The Black Dog.
I got to listen to that more. It came on today and I thought, this wasn't even in my realm and it's good.
It's tortured. You left your location on. It's about imagining your, like, you've been ghosted. You love this guy and he's in a bar tonight. And what's he doing? And I hope you're having the worst time. And then the way there's like this beat that kind of comes in. Oh, it is so, so good. Okay, that's my top five.
Okay, wait. So Down Bad. Thank You, Amy.
So High School.
So High School.
Tortured Poets. And Black Dog.
Okay. Okay. Now I'm supposed to go or do you do your honorable mentions? Okay. I just decided a fifth right now.
Oh, whoa.
But because I can't. The one thing I love about Thank You, Amy is I love the spin of the hardest thing I've ever been through in my life was the best thing or one of, right? Because a lot of us go through really hard shit and then we just play victim to it and we just stay angry and mad. Mm-hmm. And if we can stay open to the idea that this is serving me, this is happening for me, you can find the lesson in it. And a lot of those awful things that we've gone through are gifts and they're disguised as painful seasons and lessons and people betraying us, whatever, but like they are a gift. And so I love that underlying theme there. Okay.
Yes, for sure.
So my number one, hands down, far and away, Florida.
I love Florida.
And you know what it is? It's that, it's the It is, I feel like I need to start playing Florence. The way that those two voices sound together are so good. And it reminded me, not reminded me, but I was thinking about like Miley and Beyonce and how sort of jarring their voices sound together.
Yeah.
Which is maybe intentional or whatever, but how fluid and just seamless. Like those two, I would go to a tour of those two. I mean, I'd go to
Florida
anything Taylor does, of course.
So
but like,
good. I saw someone be like, what's Florida even about? I'm like, you don't get it. It's let's go self-destruct.
Yeah.
Let's go be freaking
nuts.
You don't
get it.
You don't get it? Like, you've never felt like
Florida.
F it. Like, I'm just going to go have the craziest. I have nothing to lose because I'm already gone.
Yeah, like, I'm already gone. And there is a thing, Taylor was on some radio, I don't know who got these clips, where she talks about what some of the songs are about. Mm. And she said, it's when like, you've kind of burned your life down and where do people go to escape, where they can't be caught or whatever, and they go to Florida. I feel like
that must be
an East Coast
thing. I don't think that's literal.
Thing,
I think it's like figurative of...
No, we can't, it can't be literal.
It's like,
I don't know.
I'm raging. I'm just, I need to like someone drown, take my pain away.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I can do whatever I want.
So I love
that's my number
Florida.
One. Freaking love it. Number two, I put them in order, but number two is Down Bad.
Yeah.
Because that's so catchy, such a bop. Number three is Alchemy. That's the other Travis song.
I put that one in the honorable mentions like multiple times today. It's so good.
It's so good. It's also very smart.
Oh, it's sweeping.
Yeah.
It's a sweeping love song.
And I like that she does in that one a callback to a lot of their past. Like, So High School is their sort of present, like once they already were connected, kind of. And so you get a little peek into their life, right? The boys are playing Grand Theft Auto. And I feel like there's some sexual energy in that song as well, where she says 100%. Like, you know, your boys are there, you're touching me and I'm stifling my size. I'm like, oh, what size are these, Taylor? Just like, I don't know, you know? But I love Alchemy because she says like, are you going to marry, kiss or kill me? And then she's like betting for us too. It's all three, which is, you know, Travis had that interview. She says the line, you already know, babe. And in Travis's podcast, when he very first said anything, he said like, I wanted to give her a bracelet and with my number on. And Jason said, which number, your phone number or your jersey? And he goes, you know which number. So I feel like she's doing a callback to that. Like she did some callbacks to like, and then she also says like, you knew what you wanted and boy, you got her or whatever. Like, I just love that story arc.
Ugh, me too.
So good. Okay, so that's three. So four, but Daddy, I Love Him. I love Angry Taylor. I want a Lemonade album, but Taylor, I wish that's what this was. I feel like, but Daddy, I Love Him. She was telling, I think some of her fans, not true Swifties, but definitely some of her fans. And then certainly people that maybe said that they were fans or that they're just on the bandwagon of it's cool to not like Taylor. But I don't think she's ever called her fans out in that way. Ever.
I don't think so either.
I love when she goes, let me tell you something right now. I would rather burn my whole life down than listen to one more second of all this bitching and moaning. Like, get it together. You have no idea what's going on in my life. You're seeing the media. You're seeing clips of him on stage. You think you know, and you have no idea. This is my choice and my life. My dad didn't like him either, and now they do. Like,
I think I just love it. The stages of grief, that is the anger. That is, she's pissed. You burned this
down. She probably blamed her fans a little bit.
Get it back. The world crumbled this.
Yeah. And I finally had it because I also was thinking, remember that time? I think it was when she was in Florida because she did like Arizona, Vegas, Texas, and then she moved like over to the East Coast. I feel like it was Florida, maybe like Tampa. And at that time we had heard she's dating Maddie.
Yeah.
And she said on stage, I'm the happiest I've ever been. And it feels like everything finally makes sense. And that was several months before Travis. So she finally was with Maddie after a decade.
And like, and in her mind, it's like she had just broken up with Joe, and then Maddie coming back in maybe made it all make sense.
Right. Of like, oh, it was never supposed to be him.
This is why.
Yes.
And then when that goes away, then what?
Right. Right. Yeah. And then, so then after that, this isn't in my top, but then she, it is in my maybe honorable mentions. I don't know. It's not my top. But then she writes, I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. Right? She's out there performing on stage. And I love, it reminds me a little bit of Britney, where she goes, lights, camera, bitch, smile. Da-da, you know, that
hitting
like.
Hitting all my marks.
Hitting all my marks. Yeah. It's
I'm so, depressed. I act like every day is my birthday. Every day is my birthday. That song is so. Yeah.
So good.
Sad. And so good. Like it is. What we find out in these songs is Taylor, we thought we're seeing the era. She's at the top of her game. Unbeatable in the shape of her life, all these things. And what we find out is we had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And in The Shortest Man Who Ever Lived, she says, why did you do this? Like, did someone send you? Did you intend to like rust my sparkling summer? She says something about her sparkling summer. Like, you came here and I was having a sparkling, because if you think about it, that's when Eras Tour started in March. Yep. And then in the summer was when her and Maddie were like having fun and she was like top of her life. And then he burned it down. Yep. Well, we burned it down, whoever, whatever. Okay. And then my fifth that I got to do just based on lyrics is So Long London. It's So Long London. Well written about like just a heartbreak that it had to happen. She's not even like necessarily sad or devastated there, but just like, man, this is not the way I thought it was going to go. And bummer, you know, just like, I don't know. It seemed like she'd kind of moved on when she wrote So Long London already, but still there was some sadness or something. Okay, so those are my top five.
Anger about the youth. And
anger. Yeah, I gave you all this youth for free.
Angry that now, like, she loved it there.
I loved this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, my honorable mentions have shifted a lot this morning.
Oh, wow.
Like, there's these three honorable mentions, and then I have four that have been in rotation.
Okay. Tell me all of them.
Get You Back.
I'm gonna get you back. Yep. It's on my list of honorable mentions.
Prophecy.
That's on my honorable mentions.
Love Prophecy.
So good. Yeah.
So
same.
Much.
Same.
And I'm really struggling with this. I'm going Guilty as Sin because I really think that one's going to age very, very, very well. And I think that that song about emotional cheating makes me put every other song, not every song she's ever written, but I'm going to go back through all of her other songs and maybe hear them differently now.
Yeah.
Wondering if this is actually about Maddie.
Maddie.
It was close. It was really close. The other ones that didn't make honorable mention, but that have shifted into the spots throughout the morning. Alchemy, Loss of My Life, LOML. I Look in People's Windows, Peter, Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus.
Wow.
So it's a lot of the back half. It's a lot of the back half.
Mine's a lot of the front half, I would say. So I Can Do It With a Broken Heart.
Yes.
I Can Do It With a Broken. I just, I don't know. It reminds me a little bit of that early to that, like Britney pop, that Britney era. Just, I don't know.
Yes.
I'm going to Get You Back, Prophecy. I also love Who's Afraid of Little Old Me?
Oh, man. Don't worry. We took her teeth out. Just like.
Yeah.
We tamed her. We've beaten her down. This was a rabid dog, but she's on a leash now.
She's on a leash.
Just like. What she has to do to make sure that she's digestible to everybody.
And I'm wondering who, there was a conversation. I'm still feeling like it's about Joe because that's the song where there's the line, you don't get to tell me about sad. And I'm wondering if that was Joe, like a conversation with him where he's like sad or he's struggling. He doesn't like something. He doesn't like the spotlight. He doesn't whatever. And she's like, you don't get to tell me about sad.
You don't have to walk a day in my actual shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. You have no freaking clue. And then Smallest Man Who Ever Lived, because I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
It really most is. Of mine are based on lyrics. There's some like Florida is based on sound, but most of the other ones are based on lyrics, I would say. Because I love the way she tells stories.
All I want to do is go listen to all of them right now.
But before we do that,
ding, 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 ding. There's a lot to digest with the Taylor album. And that's how I feel when I'm thinking about skincare. It's a lot of choices. And I can get overwhelmed, whether I'm in the store or on, you know, scrolling social and seeing, like, what is everybody using? What should I be using? I have so much stuff in my own bathroom, right? And I'm always turned around. And like I mentioned how I like to shop, I need help. I like to have help, and that's why I love Apostrophe. Finding skincare products that actually work for you can be complicated, and that's why we're excited to partner with Apostrophe, the sponsor of this episode. Apostrophe's goal is to help you feel confident in your own skin. Whether you're dealing with breakouts, signs of aging, or acne scarring, Apostrophe will help you love the skin you're in. Apostrophe is an online platform that connects you with an expert dermatology team to get customized acne treatment for your unique skin. Through Apostrophe, you can get access to oral and topical medications that use clinically proven ingredients to help clear acne. You simply fill out an online consultation about your skin goals and medical history, then snap a few selfies, and a dermatology provider will create a customized treatment plan just for you. Apostrophe offers access to prescription treatments for all types of acne, from hormonal acne to facial acne and even back, chest, and butt acne. Treat breakouts from head to toe. I loved going on and sharing my skin goals, which were, hey, I'm getting older. I have some dark spots. What can we do to help with this? They gave me personalized recommendations, a tailored treatment plan. It was so simple to sign up, and I love not having to have an in-person appointment or trip to the pharmacy. It arrived and everything was personalized just for me. I loved it.
We have a special deal for our audience. Get your first visit for only $5 at apostrophe.com/sip. All right.
Let's bring it home.
Oh my gosh.
Let's bring Torture Tuesday home. Is there anything torturing you, Ash?
What is torturing me? No, what's torturing you? I got to think about it.
Do you keep a to-do list? Clearly.
No.
I'd be curious to hear from people who have a to-do list system that isn't overwhelming, because I keep a to-do list on my phone. And what happens is I'll think of something and then I put it on there. And there's no better way, I think, to like overwhelm your life than to create to-do lists that are unmanageable. Mm-hmm. And yet there's things that I'm like, if I don't write it down, then it just chops around upstairs. Yeah. So if I write it down, will I forget about it? Right. Or like at least be able to document it. I don't want to like forget things. So what's the balance of not forgetting things, but not having this thing that makes me feel like I have to do it all? I like to be organized, but I don't want to be overwhelmed. I genuinely, I would love to hear what works for people, because I can't imagine not having one. I feel like that not writing it down, I wouldn't like that. But then the management, how do you make it like edit it, take things out, maybe prioritize like the top three? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm a to-do list addict, and I think I need to change it. I don't like it. I don't like going in and seeing all of the things all the time and thinking about it all the time.
I had a friend that would do every night before she would go to bed, she would write like 10 seems like a lot to me, but she would do, here's the 10 things I'm going to do tomorrow. That seems like a lot. I started doing, here's like, what is the three things that I can do? Because you know, you're going to do the regular, you're going to get up and you're going to like, like, I don't need to put move my body on there because I'm probably just going to do that. I don't need to put like take care of my kids. I'm just going to do that. Right. But like, what are the things that I need to, and I just do three. I do like, what are the top three things that if I do those tomorrow, I'm going to feel really good about going to bed tomorrow night. And then you'll have something that's on your list that's like on there and on there and on there. And then it finally, it's like never a priority. And then finally you're like, what would feel good is to get this off of my list finally. But yeah, I don't usually keep like big lists, but I do. I have things bouncing in my head all the time. So that's why I've started being like, what do I need to get done tomorrow that will make me feel good?
Do you write it on paper or in your phone, or what's your system?
Usually, I'm journaling at night on paper. Yeah. I do that. I don't put things on my phone very often.
Email us at youcansipwithus@gmail.com.
What are your guys' ideas? Yeah.
For things that work, because I don't like my system.
Yeah.
I like yours. Do you feel like that works? Like,
I like it, because sometimes when I'm feeling overwhelmed, I'm like, oh my God, I have so much to do. I don't have enough time to do it. It doesn't even feel like I have time to journal. I start getting like stressed and I guess a little anxious. Yeah. And then when I stop and ask myself like, what actually needs to get done in order for me to feel like it was a productive day or for me to feel proud of myself? And then I can put it in a, where it's like, I don't actually need, most of the things that are on our to-do list aren't like urgent. Right?
Right.
Most of them are, it's like put laundry away. And like that stuff I just put off until finally it's like, I can't put it off anymore. Now it's a very big task and it will feel very good to get that done. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just like to do, you know, three things. And then if I have time, I'll do more. You know, sometimes I'll write out like, here's my top six priorities, knowing that if I go to bed tomorrow, if I do these three or these two, depending how long the tasks take, that will feel good, or how busy my day is, you know? And a lot of times then the riffraff falls away.
Yeah.
I also think, and I don't know if this is true for you, but I feel like we've heard from psychics that you need to delegate more.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if there's things that are on your list that you could be like, I struggle with asking for help, but I need to get over that struggle because Chris would be happy to step in, or my mom, you know, whatever, would be someone would be. Maybe someone on your team, like, I don't know what's on your list, right? But like, maybe there are things that even though it's uncomfortable for you to ask for help, you're like, I should be able to do this, that maybe you just don't need to. And so then you can ask, like delegate it. I don't know.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about what was the hardest part of my week. And it's probably just that it's hot here now and I can't get outside. And mostly I feel bad for Roka because I'm still able to work out inside and I can walk on my treadmill and I can get movement in. But it sucks because we're already at, like today, it's going to be, Yeah, it's 95 right now. It'll be 97 today. And we're in the higher 90s all week. So then it's just, even at like this morning when I got up at 7 a.m., it was 75 degrees out, which isn't bad, but it's still like,
but you know, it warms up it's going to get angry today.
Yeah.
And it's hot on the skin. It's hot.
I mostly feel bad that like we're moving into the season and we're going to a pool party today at my aunt and uncle's. But Roka's kind of tough to swim with. So I'm going to ask John what he thinks. Like, I want to get her exercise. That's the hardest part. And it's probably the same for like in Oregon. I remember with the dogs, it was hard in the winter because it's just raining. And we would throw the ball up and down the stairs. Like, you just got to get creative with getting them some movement. Yeah. But yeah, the heat is here already. And it's very manageable as a human, but it's tough for dogs right now. Mm-hmm. I feel like to get the exercise they need. So that's kind of a
Roka's tough to swim with because she just
does flying leaps and, you know, and then she's just and any splashing I think you've seen our dogs where they like sprinklers. They like just try to eat the water. So any splashing, she's like, hop, 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 hop. And it's annoying as an adult, but it's a little bit dangerous when there's kids.
Right. Could you exercise her in your pool before you go? And then she can take a nice nap while you're gone.
If we could. Well,
I don't know. Get her really tired now in your own pool.
I probably should have done that.
You gotta go to the pool.
Well, because we're leaving in like 9 minutes, so.
Oh, tight turn. Okay.
Yeah. Now I'll see if I can bring her.
My rave. I feel like I heard, not from you, but just a general sentiment from the world. We're now officially into the like lots of birthday party invites from like the kids at school and, you know, that sort of thing. And we weren't in it like even a year ago that much. And now we very much are. And I feel like I had heard just, and maybe it wasn't true, but just this general feeling of kids parties, like we got a birthday to go to, like that sort of like approach it. And so I gotta say, for any of you who are like also maybe feeling like that might be a bad stage to be in, I just gotta put it out there. I love it. I love it. I love taking Ben to birthday parties. I love seeing what the other parents do. I love seeing how excited the other parents are because it's like that's their kid's birthday. And, you know, Ben and Ellie's birthdays are coming up and I'm thinking about them a lot. Just excited. Just wanting them to have great days. And then like that's their kids' day. I love seeing how excited the other kids are, you know, to celebrate each other and sing happy birthday to each other. And it makes me remember when I was a kid, like how exciting, you know, your birthday was and that nostalgia. And they're usually pretty short, like two hours or something. And it's like something to do and it's fun. I love like taking Ben to the store and having him think about what is his friend like or what would they like. And, you know, we're getting something just for this friend today. And that's a good feeling to, you know, it's sometimes hard, but like good.
It's a good little lesson thing.
So I just got to say, if you're not in the birthday party stage and you think it's something you're going to dread, just for whatever it's worth, another opinion is that I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome and I love it. So
I not the same, but Max started T-ball and he loves it so much. He loves it so much. And it's so cute, so exciting. And I don't usually like ask people like, hey, do you want to come to this? Because it just feels like, I don't know. It's the way I am about my birthday too. Like I don't want to plan things because then it's an obligation for people. But they asked, so my aunt and my two cousins, there's the three of us on this thread. And they were going to this indoor market yesterday. And they were like, so on Friday, she was like, hey, I'm going to this. Do you want to go? I said, what time? She said, 9. I said, oh, well, Mac has a T-ball game at 9. So maybe I'll check in with you after. And she goes, well, what time or where is his T-ball? And I said, where it was. And one of them wrote back and said, well, maybe we'll try to come. And then we get there and my aunt and uncle came. They didn't tell us they were coming, right? But they surprised us. And then my other cousin came. And so he had like this whole cheering squad. And it was really fun to just watch that. And then I'm talking to like neighbors and friends that I'm meeting here and their kids are in, you know, it's like, yeah, I've got my kid's baseball game tonight, so I'll see you later or whatever. And I cannot wait for that sideline season. Like similar to the birthday season, right? Like I cannot wait for that sideline season. And so we just had that yesterday, you know, like our first little game.
What a great part of life.
It's so great. Yeah. It's so cool to see kids like, yeah, living their lives happily and joyful. I don't know. And learning hard stuff. You know, it's a T-ball game with 4-year-olds. So like if a ball would come to them. Yeah. There were so many gloves thrown yesterday and just helmets taken off. Cause they're
probably
like,
kids who didn't even want to go on the field.
Big emotions. And I just loved it all. I loved every single thing I saw. It was just like the best, you know? Yeah. Anyway. And we love you guys. Wait, the mouse.
Oh, your rave was T-ball.
My rave was T-ball.
Okay.
Great. This season. Yeah.
We love you
And also, I mean, it was going to be like also people showing up for your kids, but I've said that before.
Yeah.
But this was perfect. It's really like the sports thing. No. You know, I love it. Anyway. Yeah. We love you.
You can sip with us always. All you tortured little people. Go get tortured.
Go get tortured.
And we will see you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Want more? You can sit with us. How about another round of your favorite podcast?
We
sign
me up.
Same.
Join us for another round over on Patreon. That's where we give you the down and dirty. We get raw and real. We raw dog it over there.
Oh, yeah. Every Friday, at least, we drop Friday episodes over on Patreon and additional content. It's all ad free. You can sign up. Go to patreon.com. patreon.com/ You Can Sip With Us, or download the Patreon app and search You Can Sip With Us. Become a patron. $5, guys.
It's $5 a month. I mean, just give up your latte one day. One day out of 30 days, boom, paid for.
Yeah. Yeah. Totes, kabotes. Do it. We'll see you over there.
KCO.
Every Friday,
love
guys.
Love you.
Bye.
You're our crew. Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.